Hello and welcome back to Cabin Cast Reacts. I'm Oliver and I'm joined by Jamie.
Hello.
And Emily.
Hello.
And we are back with more Gravity Falls. Last time, Stan was almost mayor, but then wasn't. And Gideon is maybe now going to make a deal with Bill. But this time, episode 15, The Last Mabel Corn. Whatever that might mean. Let's find out, I guess. Starting in 3, 2, 1, now.
It's a very good reference.
Something to do with a unicorn, maybe.
Maybe. That seems accurate. Ooh.
That's very creepy.
It's him. That was pretty spooky.
Yeah.
I mean, he's always been there in a sense.
Oh, always, since the start, but there's something he can actually use now to get in. Like Jumanji. I never realized that the pug thing comes back up immediately.
Yeah.
Why has he got that many pugs?
This is a good question.
Yeah.
Unicorn hair. Checks out. It's in that room, maybe.
Yes.
Level 2.
No.
Good job, Grenda. Well, that was something. Yep, it's those paintings.
That's cool how, like, she communicates through her horn. Lovely.
This is valid. Oh dear. That must have taken a while.
Oh.
They're wearing shoes.
They are. So goofy.
Was. This is so insane.
It's very strange. I don't understand how any of that makes sense.
No.
I think there's an extra step that you guys didn't need to add, but okay. We need Prey Trot. That was SOS, if you didn't catch that.
Yeah.
Oh, was it? Yeah. That's cool.
Oh dear. Just a peek. Immediately spiraled.
Yeah.
So I don't know why the mind reader head thing worked on him, but doesn't really matter. Oh, creepy.
Did he just tell him he's deaf?
Did he, or is he just messing?
True, deaf. That just seems oddly specific.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely. Yeah.
Oh my god.
They must have got very violent.
Yeah. Horses are dangerous. Yeah, checks out. It's a lore post credits scene again.
That's cool.
That was like the Avatar Airbender symbol in there as well.
I missed that one.
Is that when he maybe spoke to Gideon?
Maybe. Okay, the last Mabelcorn. Yeah, unicorns. You were right.
It's because the prophecy was foretold.
It was. Yeah, another one where we have a fun side adventure that's also partnered with a proper lore adventure. Well, side adventure that's still assisting the main plot with getting the unicorn hair to protect the shack. I have some issues with that bit, because throughout the show, Mabel's very sweet, but she proves time and time again that she is not a good person. She screws up Dipper's plans so many of the times because, oh, you know, this guy is here and I'm gonna do this thing for him. And like 2-3 separate times that happens. And she manipulates people, she teases people. So that whole part of it kind of bugs me. It kind of makes it a bit better at the end where she's like, morality is relative. And I'm glad that unicorns actually can't tell that you're pure of heart. That like helps it a bit. But it still kind of frustrates me because it kind of seems like the show at the very least wants you to still believe like that Mabel is. And especially also in pertaining to events that are yet to come, it's just like, that's not who she is as a character. She's, you know, she's a kid, so it's fair enough, but she's still a largely self-centered and selfish person. Obviously, she cares about her family, but if she's going to choose something for herself or something for them, it might go either way.
We're going to show some personality, the fact that as soon as the unicorn, what are you going to do about it if you punched it?
Well, exactly. And I mean, unicorn deserved it. It was being an absolute joke.
Yeah. But I'm just thinking, but in society, it's like, that exactly. Wouldn't be an excuse.
No, absolutely. Violence is still violence, and it's not good. But, I mean, the unicorn, like, premise on the whole is hilarious. The, like, the acting. Who does the voice of the unicorn? Because it's,
I know it's, I don't know who that is. I don't think
I'll,
it's,
I'll find it. It'll be on the list that I've got.
Yeah, it was I get exactly what you mean. Which, you know, because like you said, Mabel has done some bad things, but like, she is a kid.
Yeah. No, again, it's absolutely not an indictment of the character. It is part of her character is, but I feel like sometimes the show writes in a, now, yeah, Mabel is a good person, and
we don't know what to do with her sometimes.
They don't really know what to do with her, but it's complicated. Okay, so Celesta Bella Bethabel is voiced by Samuel David Marin, which is a guy which I honestly wasn't expecting. He voices Benson Pops and Muscle Man in the regular show.
I don't know
who that is, really. But yeah, it's a great voice performance, and the rave music stuff, and the kind of the whole look of the place being, like they say, you know, airbrushed on the side of vans, is all a great kind of thing there. And then all the stuff with Ford being kind of manipulated by Bill and all that stuff is interesting to learn more about as well. And how Bill's, you know, been here for a long time and there's lots of history, and it's all in Gravity Falls. But yeah. Okay. So originally the episode that was going to be in this place was going to be a Wendy-centric episode focused on her home life, where she would somehow gain weather controlling powers. This episode was actually very close to being produced before Hirsch scrapped it to write the episode that ultimately became The Lost Mabel Corn. That would have been interesting.
Maybe we didn't see that.
Yeah, but the episode was originally written by Alex Hirsch over the course of 2 days to be mainly focused on Mabel, instead of kind of splitting it half and half. When Dipper and Mabel decided to play the game, they said it would take about 21 minutes, which is the usual runtime of the show. And in fact, when Dipper said this, there were exactly 21 minutes left in the episode.
Oh, that's clever.
A list of Mabel's good deeds. Save snails. Plant tree. Also, when she put the snails on the top of leaves, that was going to make them very easy for birds to get. Make Stan smile. Donate blood. Guide ducks. Zazzle Nathan. Tip Susan. Old Lady Biz. Massage Waddles, sponsor Clown, water tulips, take out trash, wash Seuss, scratch Waddles, polish Tyler's boots, abolish electrical college. Okay. Clean gutter, polish shack floor, mow Dan's lawn. Late after being rejected by the unicorn a second time, it also writes down sharpen Stan's pen, fill honey jar, knit Seuss a scarf, and brush a cat. Other good deeds were planned in production for Mabel, but they had to be cut. The deeds were changing a car tire, giving an apology letter to Gideon for putting him in jail. Again, I'm not sure that technically is a good deed, but there we go. Paying parking meters, saving Lissy Susan's cat from a tree, writing an apology letter to Pacifica about how she started that rumor that your butler picks your nose for you. That's more understandable. Filling Seuss's cabinet with cereal and chasing after a garbage truck for the plastic bottle she didn't recycle. Furthermore, when Mabel puts the two snails on the plant, now they're promptly eaten by a dog. Yeah, on the list of bad things that she writes, that she brushed Waddle's teeth with Dipper's toothbrush. Whoops. We mentioned the SOS thing, that the fawn blew out on the panpipes. Yeah. The cipher file contains the following piece of information about pyramids. Pyramids, also known as square cones, okay, that makes sense, I guess, are found all around the globe and have deeply mysterious origins. Engineers marvel at their seemingly impossible construction, but many don't realize they are actually just the skeleton remnants of an ancient race of large triangular dinosaurs who had very blocky bones. The Cycloptostonosaurus was a feared predator and roamed the plains of North Africa, where it subsisted on a diet of warthogs and meerkats. It is made tender by their carefree lives and trouble-free philosophies. The reign of the pyramid continued into the 18th century, where a young George Washington once saw one on summer vacation and swore he would found a nation with the sole purpose of putting an image of it on the backs of dollar bills. Pyramids today are mainly tourist attractions and setting for conspiracy movies, like the one where the guy has to steal the Declaration of Independence. It's Independence Day. You know the one. Conspiracy Hank goes overboard. If you ever get a skateboard, go to Egypt and try riding downside a pyramid. I hear that's really encouraged. Oh boy, there's a lot in this one. The cipher file page entitled Elegans Contractus contains the following account of an encounter with Bill Cipher. There was once a wise Roman philosopher who spent his days in the unintelligible of the great emperor Julius Junius Maius Marcus. He advised the king in all matters of philosophy and knowledge and soon taught him the value of flossing. That's the tea thing, not the dance move. Turns out it's really, 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 really important. Start doing it. It'll change your life. He was considered by many to be the smartest Roman that ever lived. However, the philosopher was not content with simply being the smartest Roman. Nay, he desired to be the smartest human ever. He requested that the Roman army, while conquering, bring back all books and scores instead of feeding them to the dolphins, as was the custom at the time. Hence why the dolphins are so smart, I guess. Soon the philosopher's library was filled with more knowledge than any ordinary man could consume in his lifetime. But the philosopher was not satisfied. He needed more. He swore to heavens he would find it. One night while sleeping, he was visited by a spectre. This character, geometrically perfect in form, introduced himself as Bilius Cypherus, and told the man he could bring him the knowledge he sought with just one catch. The philosopher was intrigued. Whatever you need, I'll grant, if it is within my power. Bilius explained he would need to enter the philosopher's mind, you know, to hold the door open for the knowledge. All that sweet, sweet knowledge. The philosopher saw no problem with that and let Bilius Cypherus into his mind. What followed horrified him. Bilius took possession of his form and used it to deceive the imprint, making a lot of bad decisions, like giving cats the right to vote and having his army wage war on itself in a game he called the Stab Your Guy to the Left. Only one person survived. They also recalled all gladiatorial combat at the Colosseum and replaced it with curling, which is, as we all know, the world's worst sport. Soon the empire collapsed and it was all the philosopher's fault. By the time he got his body back, he had been branded a traitor and was sentenced to death, which would have happened except Bilius came through on his end of the bargain and filled the philosopher's head with knowledge. It was really cool for like 30 seconds, but then it was overwhelming and resulted in what the Romans called Explodus Domicus, which, as you can guess, is fatal. The fight between Mabel, Wendy, Grenda, Candy, and the Unicorns was really going to be included, but had to be cut due to time constraints. We're not going to go through all of Dipper's thoughts, because there's a lot of them as well. Fords, however, are, I can't tell him he's not ready. I'm so close to finding the unified theory of weirdness. I miss Dimension 42. I'm sorry, Fiddleford, which is McGucket, and Crumpelter. The phrase, you shouldn't have done that, may be a reference to the internet creepypasta Ben Drowned. That's interesting.
Whoa, I know the Ben Drowned
one. I remember that one. I don't remember you should have done that, but I read it many years ago.
I vaguely remember. Was that something to do with a Zelda game?
Mm-hmm. It's Majora's Mask, I think.
Yeah, it's like an old save file.
Yeah. And something to do with the guy who sells stuff. Anyway, in Ford's dream, there are more journals than the three known red ones, a blue and a brown one with yellow six-fingered hands, and a brown journal with a yellow triangle on the cover may be seen amongst others. We see a whole bunch of people in Will's eye in the credits. We're not going to go through that. During the flashback, Bill and Stanford play interdimensional chess, which seem to have different rules because they're both making illegal moves otherwise. Celesta Bethabethabel is clearly similar to Celestia with Rarity's cutie mark for My Little Pony Friendship is Magic. Emmy Cicierega boarded Mabel's Good Deeds montage due to time. A lot of the ideas she came up with were not used in the episode. In September 2015, she uploaded the full storyboard montage to YouTube with the backing song Bad Reputation by Joan Jett. For unknown reasons, Wendy is absent in all the montages. But things she did were like replace a tire on the broke down car, the snail thing, sends Gideon a letter, and the show of the pun Wait It Out. Goes to parking lot and refills with expired parking meters. Also accidentally puts a coin in the ear of a man who's sitting on a bench, but he's pleased by it. And a bunch of other things. Mabel repays Zeus for eating a cereal by filling his cabinet with more cereal. Skips over the mistake of using Dipper's toothbrush on Waddles and moves along, correcting her mistake of not recycling. According to Emmy, in the video's description, the gag with Toby and the tree, which Mabel paints in front of his door, was a favourite, and she's glad that a shorter version it made into the episode. That one is quite funny. Early storyboards of the episode had Ford wearing a cape. Cryptograms, then we'll be done, because there's a lot of reading. The one at the end decodes to a simple man with eager ears may trust the whispers that he hears. And at the end of the episode, it was, in Cypher's game, he needs a pawn. Be sure to know which side you're on. I guess those kind of rhyme. And some mind scare stuff as the words like think and liar. And on the stone that Ford found in the cave, it reads, "It started with bad dreams, which became nightmares. I was foolish. I wanted answers. I painted the symbols. I said the words. When gravity falls and the earth becomes sky, fear the beast with just one eye." And yeah, that sort of stuff. That was a lot of lore in there.
I did actually find something else really quickly. So I went back onto the character because I wanted to look back at the voice actor again. And they were saying in the trivia, so that main unicorn, her personality is based on the title character from The Last Unicorn, the actual animated film.
That makes and sense as well.
In the commentary, apparently, for this episode, Alex Hirst revealed that he hated how her entitled attitude throughout the film and thought it would be funny to write a unicorn as a colossal pain, just like her.
That makes sense.
Which is that's funny because I don't remember that film very well. I remember watching it as a kid, but now that thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, she was kind of self-centered.
Yeah, no, definitely. But yeah, again, fun episodes, fun fantasy nonsense. And yeah, we'll leave this one here. We are nearing the end now, so
close.
We'll leave this episode here. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you in the next one. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Cabincast. For more episodes, go to www.cabincast.podbean.com or use the Podbean app. You can now also find us on iTunes and Pocket Casts under Cabincast and on YouTube. There are uploads here on my behind. Finally, you can find us on Facebook at www.facebook.com/cabincast. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.